This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين، أما بعد. قال المصنف رحمه الله تعالى في كتاب رياض الصالحين في باب فضل العلم تعلما وتعليما لله. يحيى بن شرف النووي says in his book entitled The Gardens of the Righteous in the chapter of the virtue of knowledge, seeking it and teaching it for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. عن ابن مسعود رضي الله عنه قال سمعت رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يقول نظر الله امرأ سمع منا شيئا فبلغه كما سمع فرب مبلغ أوعى من سامع. ابن مسعود رضي الله عنه narrated that I heard the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم saying, May Allah freshen the affairs of a person who hears something from us and communicates it to others exactly as he has heard it, both meaning and the words, which was in Idraj injected here. Many a recipient of knowledge understands it better than the one who has heard it. Many a recipient of knowledge understands it better from the one who has heard it. فَرُبَّ مُبَلِّغٍ أَوْعَى مِنْ سَامِعٍ. So here the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is mentioning, firstly, the virtue of seeking knowledge, but in particular, you'll find the scholars of hadith mention this hadith all the time, because it's showing the importance of when relating the knowledge that you related kama sami'ta, just as you heard. And the scholars of hadith were very meticulous in this. I mean, you find, you know, we hear Imam Bukhari, Imam An-Nawawi, Imam Muslim, when they would relate a hadith, they would relate it word for word, hifzan, memorized, number one. Number two, they would relay the chain of narrations. So if there was more than one chain of narration, and let's say that there were usually four or five people in the chain of narration, they would mention each person all the way to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That's number two. Number three, they would mention the way that they received the news. So it could be haddathana, I say haddathana Amir, and haddathana so and so, haddathana so and so. So and so told me that so and so told him that so and so told him, or actually so and so told me and he said, so and so told me and he said, so and so told me and he said. This is one method of transmission. You also have so-and-so told me and he said, I received this from someone who said, I heard this from someone. So being descriptive on the method of transmission, and that method of transmission can determine the strength of the hadith. This is only one aspect that can determine the strength of the hadith. The narrator himself could be someone that's not reliable because they don't relate it word for word. So the level of the hadith will decrease. The level of strength of the hadith will decrease. That's why you hear hadith is Sahih, or hadith is Hasan, or hadith is Da'if, right? These are the three main categories. You'll have Sahih, Hasan, and Da'if. And Hasan can be that which is authentic, but it may have one of these small ailments in it. So this is how meticulous the scholars of hadith were. And Ibn Bukhari, Bukhari, for example, was how stringent he was on accepting news from other muhaddithun, people of knowledge that would take hadith from scholars. He saw him feeding his animal. He was acting like he had something in his hand and he was tricking him. So Imam Bukhari decided not to take hadith from this person. But he didn't say that he was a weak person in hadith, but he himself, due to his diligence and due to his preservation and wanting to preserve the hadith of the Prophet ﷺ, he decided if he's going to lie to his animal, what about the hadith of the Prophet ﷺ? This was his understanding and analogy. So when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said here, may Allah freshen the affairs of a person who hears something from us, نَظَرَ اللَّهُ عِمْرَانْ سَمِعَ مِنَّا شَيْئًا. مِنَّا, whoever heard from us, primarily the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. When they would hear something from him, they would say it exactly as they heard it. Or they would say, oh, kama qala sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. How many times you heard a hadith that companion would say, or something like this the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said. And this is really the husn al adab of the good manners with the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. If you don't know the exact wording of it, you say, oh, kama qala, or similar to what he said. Because when we say the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, or we say, you know, Allah is the blessed of planners, this is a hadith. Firstly, that's not a hadith. There's no hadith the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Allah is the best of planners. So when we say it's a hadith, that means the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said it. But rather, we should say, or something like the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, bil ma'na, right? So this is important when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is saying this. And this hadith particularly, it shows the virtue of the ones that seek the knowledge of hadith. And you'll find this in books of scholars of hadith or in Mustalah hadith, the science of hadith. They will always mention this hadith. Just as a reminder to show that it's important to mention, just as the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said it. And this shows the importance of the Arabic language. Because the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, if he uses one word and uses another word, it could have a different meaning behind it. No? It could have a different meaning behind it. And then he said, فَرُبَّ مُبَلَّغٍ أَوْعَى مِنْ سَامِعٍ. May the recipient of knowledge understand it better than the one who has heard it. So the one that receives the knowledge from the Shaykh, he may be more have more understanding than the Shaykh himself on that particular hadith that he received from him. And this is important because the one that receives the news just as he or she has received it, they may have more fiqh of the deen that Allah has blessed them with, and understanding of the deen that Allah has blessed them with. And we see this with the scholars of hadith in and of itself. We know Imam al-Shafi'i, radiallahu anhu, rahimahullah ta'ala, was a scholar of hadith and a scholar of fiqh. We know that Imam Malik was a scholar of hadith and a scholar of fiqh. But we have the likes of Yahya ibn Ma'in, Ali ibn Madini. So you haven't heard of some of these people. These people were the contemporaries of the time of Ahmad ibn Hanbal, Imam al-Shafi'i. But they were scholars of hadith. And you have Muhammad ibn Yusuf and Zafar. These were companions of Abu Hanifa, two of his main students. They were scholars of fiqh primarily. Right? They studied from Abu Hanifa, rahimahullah ta'ala. So you will find that there were scholars that Allah has blessed them with certain gifts, and some of them stick out more than others due to their muyul, due to what they're naturally inclined towards. But you'll find some that, mashallah, have been blessed with both of them. And we see this with the blessing of the four imams, that all of them are scholars of hadith and scholars of fiqh. So this hadith is important in regards to seeking the knowledge of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and also being stringent on the wording of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Primarily you'll find this hadith in academic circles, for those that want to study hadith and be more meticulous on preserving the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us of those that make the intention to learn the life of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and to learn what he says, and allow that to be a motivation for us in our Islamic scholarship, bi'idhnillah. Jazakallah khair. Yes. Yes. He asked the degree of correctness is on based on the degree of recitation, or how the recipients, the method of transmission. So, Samir too, I heard, is the strongest. But then you'll find an, right? Abu Huraira said that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, right? See, there's two things here. If it's Abu Huraira, it's fine. But if it's not, I mean, any Sahabi is fine. The generations after is where the grading of hadith narrators start. Any sahabi, we take from him. And this shows their virtue. But the ones that come after, Imam Malik, obviously Imam Malik is someone that's... But you have, for instance, Abu Ayyub al-Sakhtiani, who's from Yemen, right? He was a well-known scholar. But then you have Dhul Shakhsain, for example. These certain names that are not that well-known, there's books and indexes of this scholar. And they'll mention his shuyukh, and they'll mention his students. And then the person who wrote the book, usually Ibn Hajar, he'll say, ثِقَةٌ ثَبْتٌ أو ثِقَةٌ صَدُوكٌ, etc. So the person himself will have a grade. Then his method of transmission will determine a grade as well. So these are two separate factors that can determine the strength of a hadith, along with other factors. What if there's names in the chain, and this person never met this person? And he says, person A says, person B said. What is the way that he said it? If he says, so-and-so said, well, the scholars of hadith were like, oh, did you hear it? No, I didn't hear it. That's where some scholars are called mudallasun. Like they will, I don't want to use the word hide. They will be a little, they won't be clear in their method of transmission. Some scholars wouldn't take it. Like Ibn Bukhari would not take it. But you'll have a Nasa'i and the Sunnah. Their method of accepting hadith is in these types of matters. So, yes, in books of Usul al-Fiqh, you'll find there's like seven different methods of taking hadith from scholars, inshallah. Allah knows best. Barakallahu feekum. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.